glad that you're here. My name is Ashley Jennings. I'm one of the pastors here. This is Cody Bren. And we are in week 6 of a series that we're doing called Wonderfully Made. And the tagline for this is that we are discovering who we are and whose we are. Okay, so we believe that God, the first week we talked about that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God made us in his image and how incredible it is to be a human being. It really is an honor to carry the DNA and the reflection of our Creator in us. And we are made for important big things in this world. And so we've gone through a few things. We talked about that we are made for movement. We are not made to be stuck. That's not how God created us. And that's why when you feel stuck in your life, it's unsettling, because you're not made just to be stuck somewhere. You're made to move, to grow, to progress, to go from old to new, and from death to life, and from dark to light. We also saw that you are made to know God. You are made to know him. And so when you don't know him, your life looks completely discombobulated. I know, because there was a point in my life where I didn't know him, right? And I remember those days. I remember just kind of the confusion that went around in my mind, just the, you know, the thought cycles and things and actions that happened. But we're made to know him. We're made to love others. We're made to love others. Not just, you know, there's a command that says, you know, love your neighbor, but it's not even just you need to act like you love others. You're actually made at the core of who you are to love others well. And then Mike and Shalom were here last week. Those are our church planters in Gladden Farms. If you know anything about our church, you'll find out real quick, we are about multiplication, all right? And it's sad, honestly, because I love those people. I love that Gladden Farms team, and we're sending them out from here, and they're going to leave us, and we're going to have a gospel goodbye, okay? But it's all for the kingdom. And so they preached last week, and they preached on that you are made for community. You are made to be in unity with other people. So when we operate outside of these things we're made for, we begin to struggle with our identity. And I got the image of fitting a square peg in a round hole. When we operate outside of these things we're made for, it doesn't work in our lives. And so that's the purpose of this, is to kind of put to your heart and mind, wait a minute, am I living up to what God has made me for?
Yeah. Oh, hello, hello. So this week we're going to be speaking out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. This is the Sermon on the Mount passage, and we're just going to take a little snippet from there. So if you have your Bibles with you, which we really encourage you to bring, or your phones, or you can also follow along up on the screen, it'll be up there. Also, if you want to catch up with the past series that we've been preaching through, check out our app, Village Church AZ. You can check that out at any app store, or villagechurchaz.com, and we have downloads for the sermons. You can even stream it right from the website. All right. Let's read Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, mm-hmm. that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So our main truth that we want to pull out of this passage today, and what a powerful passage this is. This salt and light passage is something we could preach an entire series on very easily, I think, because it's so rich and so full in what Jesus is asking us to do, what he's telling us to be as his followers. But the point that we want to make today is that we are made to be light in a dark world. We are made, we are created for, we are wonderfully made to be a light in a dark world. And I'll say that often I would wager that we think as Christians that our job is purely to point people to God, right? And we kind of bypass ourselves and we say, oh, just look at God. Don't look at me, right? We think of like street corner preachers or something like that, right? They're on that corner and they are just like full of fire, but they're preaching, pointing people directly to God, right? And they're missing sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I've heard preachers preach just pointing people to God, right? And they're missing that actually what's being asked of us here is that it's our light that's supposed to shine. It's our light that's supposed to be guiding people to God. And so if we just point people to God, we're missing a huge step in that, actually, look at me. Look at my life. Look at what Jesus has done in and through me. Look at the transformational power of the person of Jesus Christ in my life, and to see the light that is coming in and through me. Look at me and see God.
Yeah.
That is what we're being charged with. That is what we are created for, not to bypass ourselves. It's easy to think that way. Don't look at me. I'm a mess. I'm a wreck of a person, whatever. Instead, we have to own who Jesus has done, what Jesus has done in us, and point people to the light that he just is pouring out through us, right? That is what we're supposed to be doing. That is what we're called to be. So if we're made to be a light in a dark world, then we have to ask this question: how are we made to shine? How are we supposed to do that? Mm-hmm. Right? We can't just be a care bearer and be like, boo, right? And like this beam of light go out everywhere, right? That doesn't make sense. It's like trying to think like, how do I shine today? You know, like that's kind of a challenging thing for us to come up with often. So we're going to unpack through the scripture exactly how to do that.
I'm a little distracted because I'm picturing what care bear Cody might be. Just like wondering.
Is there a cheer bear?
Is there a cheer bear? Or like one with a black shirt? Like, I don't know. But anyway.
Well, there's one with dark clouds. Wasn't there like
a rainy bear?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, how are we made to shine? We are made to shine for everyone to see. Okay? You're made to shine for everyone to see. So this verse talks about, it says that you are the light of the world. And if you accept the fact that you are the light of the world, those that know Jesus, you are set ablaze by him, you are made for impact and influence, then you do also accept that the world is a dark place.
Yeah.
You have to accept that. It doesn't take a genius to find that out, okay? It doesn't even take being a Christian to find out that the world is a dark place.
Yeah.
So what Jesus is doing is he's calling his followers to be intentional with where they shine their light. Okay, does Elsa's kids, leave every light in the house on? Every light. Okay, I started telling my kids that if I see that bathroom light on, they have to give me 25 cents. And I'll tell you, they started to turn it off, but even still, I'll be like, is that light on? You know, because I know, and they're like, wait, don't take our money. Like, I'm like, that costs money. When you know, your parents. But it wouldn't make any sense, right, to turn the light on and then put a blanket over it. That's what this verse is saying. That, first of all, it's a fire hazard, but it wouldn't make any sense. The same way that it's a waste to leave the light on, that's what it would be like, just a waste of your impact, your influence. So you are made to shine for everyone to see. It says that you're set ablaze, you are called the light of the world, and then he gives this analogy, like you are set on this stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And so what Jesus has done in your life is not just for you, amen? What Jesus has done in you, he also wants to do through you for the sake of other people. We shouldn't shy away from letting people see us. You know, I'm an extrovert, so I like people, right? I like that. But even then, I was talking with some leaders this week about just transparency and how often I can be cheerful as an extrovert. I could just be warm and friendly, but you could know nothing about me because I could just like fill the conversation with cheer. And you just would know nothing about Ashley Jennings and what God has done in her life. And so it takes being intentional and an understanding that you were not just made to shine for you or, you know, here in the church, you know, in our worship time. You are made to shine for everyone to see. We should proudly shine for all the people God has placed in our circle of influence. You know, we call ourselves storytellers here, and our tagline is, you have a story with Jesus that needs to be shared so that others can have a story with him. My dad sent me this quote, and he said, you know, he read it this week, and he's a fairly new believer, and he said, you know, it just really impacted me that I might be the only Bible that someone ever reads. I thought, oh, that's such an interesting quote to say, you know, people might not go and just get a Bible on their own and read it, but they might see the gospel as we know it lived out in our lives. You are made to shine for everyone to see.
Yeah. You know, through my life, I've been convicted about that many times because I am an introvert, and so I easily tend to shut down in social settings, you know, or I've been, working various places. I tend to kind of keep to myself sometimes. Well, the last company I worked at was a kitchen and bathroom remodeling company, and I was 22 or so when I started working there. And I worked in the shop first, and the shop foreman at the time was this guy named Mike Armstrong. And he was the crotchetiest, like, angriest person I had ever met. Like, he clearly hated his job. He clearly probably hated his life, honestly. And he clearly hated me. And I don't know why. And, like, I did everything I could to try to make that guy happy. Like, I worked extra hard. I would, like, all I did all day was build drawer boxes first, right? Just boxes. That's all. All day, every day. And I would try to see how fast I could get, like, a job done and then be like, hey, Mike, I finished. And he's like, so? Like,
oh my God.
Good job, buddy, whatever. Like, he didn't care, right? And so I would, like, come to work just already mad at that guy, right? And I just had this, like, bitterness starting to form towards this guy. And I worked with him for several years. And over that time, he would start disappearing from the shop for a while and, like, not getting his work done. And then people started getting laid off because the industry wasn't doing so well, and he got let go. And a few years after that, some of the people in the shop, like, would check on him, see how he's doing, right? Because he lived alone. And one guy said, like, so I just went and visited Mike, and I literally knocked on the door, and it opened, and he's sitting in the dark drinking. And his eyes were all yellow, and, like, he's going to die soon, probably. And he sat in a dark room, and he drank himself to death. And I will never forget Mike Armstrong. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't who he needed me to be. My job as a Christian was to be light in a dark world. And you know what, I can make excuses and say, like, I didn't maybe know better. You know, I could make excuses, say, like, he was way older than me and what influence could I have on him, right? But my job was to try. Our jobs as Christians is to try. If I could have given one word, one encouragement to him, one genuine conversation of me walking up to him instead of being bitter at him all the time and saying, Mike, how are you really today? How you doing? Can I do anything for you? Can I help you? Can I be there for you? What can I pray for you about? There's a million questions I can come up with today that I could have asked, but it's too late. And I will never, ever forget him and the lesson that I learned. And it still hurts a lot to think, man, I could have done something. I moved to Sacramento from North Dakota to work at a church to be a pastor, and even in my own work context, I wasn't being that.
Yeah.
I don't think he even probably knew why I had moved to Sacramento, right? And I will never forget that I wasn't the light that he needed me to be. We weren't created with this understanding that we would change everyone around us, right? God understands that when he creates us, when he gives us this charge to be light, that everybody isn't gonna be changed. He understands that, right? But every single person we come in contact with, we are called to try.
Yeah.
We are called to say what needs to be said. We are called to move forward. We're called to go. Be the light. Be Jesus. That's who we're called to be in every scenario, in every place we go, even in the checkout line, even on the highway, even on Facebook. Right? We're called to be light. We're called to try. We're called to try.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a study done about the common threads that happen in someone's life before they came to know Jesus. And some of the things that came out, the common things were that they knew another Christian and were aware of them in a positive way. So they knew a Christian and they were aware of them in a positive way. They were prayed for and they had common interests with a believer. So they had common interests, like their kids played soccer together, or they lived in the same zip code. I mean, if you live in Red Rock, that's a common interest because we're in the middle of nowhere. Although Dollar General is opening on Monday. I'm so excited. Yes, it is. It is a miracle. And the Red Box. What is happening? I'm just so excited. Okay. Back to this.
We're civilized
back
now.
Back to this.
It's happened.
You know, funny thing I want to share with you really quickly about the Dollar General. This is Side note. When we were, God gave us the vision to plant this church, he actually said, and if you listen to sermons preached early on, and even back in Sacramento when we were kind of getting people excited about moving here, we said that God had told us that that what he was going to do through us, we were going to be able to see commercials start to come in here and the city would thrive and grow. So I know some of you are like, I want it to be a Target, it's not a Dollar General, but this is the first fulfillment of God's promise for us through this church. Really cool.
Yep.
That's nothing to do with the fact that we have to be intentional about getting close to people. We have to be intentional about getting close to people. You know, our culture glorifies busy. It glorifies busy, and what it does is it steals margin from our lives. And so now all of a sudden we're wrapped up in our finances and our jobs and me, and I got to get me right, and then I'm so exhausted from doing all the things that culture has pressured me into that I just go into hermit mode on my days off with the margin that I have, and I don't want to talk to anybody so that I can refresh. We have got to, guys, as Christians, be counter-cultural. We have to be counter-cultural. You know, I drive, there's a lady on my street, so funny. I've never met her. She drives into the garage and she pushes the button before she turns her car off. Like, she's like, do not talk to me. And I'm pretty sure I saw her at the mailbox the other day and I was like, oh, it's her. You know, and I was like, hey. She's like, hi. You know, got her mail and went. Like, it is so counter-cultural to even talk to your neighbors now. Right? And so as Christians, if we're called to shine for everyone to see, that means we have to be countercultural in our schedules. We have to create margin intentionally. Just like, I have nothing on the calendar tonight, and I'm just going to go outside, and my kids are going to ride their bikes, and I'm going to hope that someone walks their dog, walks by, and I get to meet them. Right? And so this is something that is a challenge for us. How can you make space for other people in your life? How can you make space? There's a practical answer to that. There's some things that might have to go in your life. You might have to be really intentional about self-care on a certain day of the week. The Lord says to Sabbath, right? So you're going to take one day a week just to recharge, refresh, so that you have energy going into the next week to give to other people. How can you make space for other people? Who are the people God has placed in your circle of influence for you to shine for? You know, always when we ask that question, I just know that God is bringing names and pictures of people's faces to your mind, that you're realizing, man, these people are living in a dark world, and God has sent me as the light of the world to help them know the victory of Jesus. Maybe today you will recognize for the first time or once again that the impact you carry into those dark places is real. It's real and it's necessary. And maybe today you'll begin to be intentional about shining for everyone to see.
Yeah. So our next point is that we are made to shine through our actions. So we've established so far that our light, the light that we carry, is meant for everyone, right? Not just a certain group of people, not just our church friends, not just our family members. It's meant for every single person we come in contact with. But then how do we genuinely share that light? If we know it's for everyone, how do we do that? Well, verse 16 says that they may see your good deeds. That's the first thing it tells us, that they may see your good deeds. And this tells us here that our actions are meant to speak much louder than our intentions. Too often, we have really amazing intentions in our lives, but they do not translate to action. Mm-hmm. They do not translate to good deeds. And that is how we're going to show people through our actions what transformation has truly taken place in our life. Our core values here at Village Church
are we love when kids cry.
That's all good. It's all good. We love kids in the church. It's awesome.
We love kids. We love kids.
Thank you for bringing them. That's awesome. Our core values here at Village Church are generosity, service, multiplication, transparency, unity, and worship, right? And each of those core values are meant to serve as sources for others to see Jesus' transforming work within us. We serve, we're generous, so that our outward actions, our good deeds for others, might cause those that we serve, those that we're generous towards, to ask a question, to ask why. Why would you do that? Why would you take your time? Why would you take your finances? Why would you spend energy on me? Why would you do that? That's why we do what we do, so we can then follow it up with an answer. Because Jesus did it for me. And I want you to know him more than anything else, because he will radically transform every area of your life. I serve, we serve, we are generous, we love with action behind it, because that is how we are going to win people to Jesus. That is how, through that radical love that makes zero sense in this world. Why would you spend your finances on me? Why would you spend your time on me? Jesus gave his life, and oftentimes all that's asked of us is our time, is our effort, and again, a little bit of our finances in order to show the world the light of Jesus that lives in us. I'm going to tell you this. One good deed obviously trumps 1,000 good intentions. One good deed trumps 1,000 good intentions. So today, let's turn our intentions into actions, because what are we created for? Mm-hmm. We are created for action. We are created to go. We are created to do things, not just to well wish.
Yeah.
Next time you have a good intention crop up in your head, boy, I should do that. I should call that person. I should say something. Turn it into an action and see what happens.
Yeah, I want to make a note about actions, because we have to be careful when we talk about doing things, because we can find ourselves in one of two camps. Either I am absolutely awful and self-deprecating about, because I have no good deeds, I'm struggling with that in my life, or like, I'm fine, I'm full of good deeds, I'm good. I'm really, really good on my own. I wanted to share with you this thought. I read an article this week that talked about when we come to know Jesus, we are now positioned with Christ. I love that word. We're positioned with him. And so he sees us, God sees us through the lens of Jesus' sacrifice. So he no longer sees us according to our sin. He no longer sees us according to our brokenness. We're literally made righteous and holy in front of, we're positioned. There, praise the Lord. We did nothing to deserve it, nothing. He just put us there. But then you know quickly, when you come to know Jesus, I don't know about you, but I was like on fire for the Lord for a second, and then realized, you know, I don't know how much, you know, time in, I can't even remember, you know, maybe a few months in, that like, oh, I'm still a broken human being though, and my performance does not match my position. I love that the way he says that in that article, my performance is not matching my position. So then begins this journey with Jesus, where he extends grace to us and helps us with our performance, praise the Lord, right? I'm a few years into Christianity, and I'm not the same person that I was. He's always extending grace, transforming me, and we should be moving forward, right, because we're created for movement. But what happens is we get goofy with our performance and think that our performance it informs our position. That if I'm not doing good, then my position isn't doing good. And if I'm doing really well in my good deeds, then my position is up there and stable. Let me say, nothing can move your position with Christ. Do you hear me? Nothing can move that. That's not a work that you did. That is a miracle by the Holy Spirit when you gave your life to him and said, Lord, I am lost and broken. I need you. He said, okay, let me just position you here. But he is always extending grace, enabling us in our performance, in our good deeds. And so that's a challenge today, that it's not enough to just try really hard to do some good things. It has to be through a surrendered life, because the only way that we can get traction in our performance is with surrender. Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need you to do it in me. I give you my life. And then grace gets extended, and we are able now to have victory and really have change in our good deeds, in our performance. This also reminds us that some of us need to know, hey, I should have good deeds to show. It's not enough just to say I'm a Christian. I love what Cody said, well wishes, right? It's not about well wishes. I should have good deeds, because in James it says, right, that faith without deeds is dead. So the evidence that you have faith is the overflow of your heart. What God's done in you is good things. I want to say, if you're feeling today like, I don't have good deeds. I know I'm a good person, but I don't have good things that are coming out of my life. Do not get stuck in a self-deprecating thought life. Do not get stuck there. That is not where Jesus wants you to be. Instead, surrender that life of yours. And I was just talking to someone that's been a Christian for a while, and they thought, you know, I surrendered my life. I said, do anything with me, Lord, anything you want, your way or the highway, even if it's difficult, right? And then they came up against something, and they realized, oh, I haven't really surrendered that part of my life. This is the walk with Jesus, guys. We have moments. I'll tell you, when we moved here 3 years ago, I was like, anything you want. I had gone through a six-month season of, do I really mean that? Do I really mean anything God wants for my life? I had actually found out I didn't really mean it. And so I began to sift through all the things and just surrender all these things. And it was incredible, this season of my life. And miracles were happening and good deeds were pouring out. It was incredible in my life. And I'll tell you what, I'm in it again. I'm 3 years later. It doesn't carry over. It's a new moment, a new season. I'm a new person even 3 years later. And so I find myself again in situations where I have to surrender. I have to give my life. And so, if you are made to shine through your actions and you're realizing today, you know what, I've been either doing a bunch of good things on my own or I don't have a lot to show, then that is an issue of surrender. Either way, we need to hand over our lives once again today to Jesus.
Yeah. So really quickly here, what good intention has been rolling around in your head that you need to turn into action? The Holy Spirit's faithful to do this, guys. He wants us to love. If we're created for that, then the Holy Spirit is going to push us to be who he's asked us to be. And so I know there's good intentions rolling around in your head today. I know the Holy Spirit speaking to many of you saying, hey, you can't put this away. I am counting on you to be me for this person, to introduce me to this person. What good intention is God asking you to turn into an action today? Lean over to someone, speak it out loud, text someone right now if you have to. It's okay. I don't care if you're pulling out your phone right now and texting, if it's for that reason, right? Write it down on a connection card. Do whatever you have to make sure that that turns into action.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we just waste time over and over again, and we get in these cycles where it's like, oh, I missed it again. Oh, I missed it again. Oh, I missed it again. Stop the cycle and be who you're called to be.
Amen.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like taking that step and seeing Jesus move through something you were just willing to do.
Awesome. Lastly, we see that we are made to shine so that God gets the credit. So that God gets the credit. It says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Someone gets the credit for the impact that you have because you are called the light of the world. And we have to own in this room for a second that as human beings, we like the pat on the back. Okay, we need to own that in our broken nature, that it's just our bent sometimes is to want a little, just a little bit. You know, even in church, we're like, oh, no, you're so, it's like, oh, your sermon was so good today. It's like, thank you, but praise the Lord. You know, like, we want a little bit of a pat on the back. We have to just acknowledge that about ourselves and surrender it, because we do not want 1 ounce of the credit because we didn't do it. He positioned us and enabled us, gave us everything we needed to be able to influence and impact others. It's an incredible thing, guys, when you get to lead someone to Jesus. I mean, I hope that in your lifetime that you get to experience that, what it looks like to really shine and let Jesus use you because you surrendered your life and then people come to know him because of you and what God has done in you. But this is a warning to us here that we should not take the credit. We should not. God gets the credit. You know, part of our storyteller, how we train people in our church to tell their stories, we have story groups, they'll be coming up soon, where you learn to identify three areas: who you were before Christ, how you met him, and who you are now, because you should be different, right, when you know Christ. And so, but the who you were before Christ is the hardest part for people. They don't want to share. All right, I don't want anyone to know who I was before because it was a hot mess back there, right? And it kind of still is under the surface. I'm only willing to share so much. But I think that transparency piece is key to giving God the credit, right? We have to remind ourselves, oh, no, 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 I was in a dark place too. I wasn't born perfect. I also struggled. And when you do that, people find a commonality, a common thread in their own lives. Right, my husband, every time he preaches, he shares about how awful our marriage was the first couple years. And I always have to be honest, I'm always like, ooh, when he's sharing. He's like, it was awful. You know, he just shares about it so openly. But I'll tell you what, because Matt is so bold to share what Jesus has done in our lives through him and in our marriage, people are like, that's me. And they're coming to know Jesus more because of it. So you know what? Fine. All day long, I'll boast in my weaknesses, right? Because God gets the credit. You are made to shine, not so that you get the pat on the back, but that so they may glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah. The flashlight doesn't get to brag about where its light source comes from, right? It doesn't say like, hey, my bulb is so bright, right? Because there's a power source behind where that light comes from. A flashlight is a paperweight without batteries, right? That's all it is. It can't do anything. It can't function. The button doesn't make the light come on. The bulb doesn't make the light come on. All the electronics inside that connect the wires do not make the light come on. The battery being inserted into the flashlight, giving the flashlight power, is what makes that light come on. God is the power behind our light. We are nothing without him. We aren't even able to function in any way of what we were made for without him. We are just a paperweight. Without God in and through us, living out and giving us power to be who he's asked us to be, what's our purpose? Mm-hmm. It's the power of God behind us that drives our purpose so that we can show others what their purpose is as well. If we go around and we start bragging about the light coming out of us and we don't give people the light source, they're just going to think that they're too broken to have that themselves. And they're never going to be able to come out of that. I'll just sit in the dark forever, I guess. I wish I could be like that person, but I just wasn't made that way, I guess. I don't have their gifts. I don't have their abilities. I don't think I could ever have their story. Mm-hmm. But when we tell people, no, listen, my story is not about how great my life is now. My story is about why it can be great now, and that's because of Jesus. The power of the cross, the transformative power behind Jesus' sacrifice for us, made me who I am. It's given me the purpose and the drive that I have today to do anything, because I am nothing without him. I'm just a paperweight without God. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is what we're charged with. When we tell people where every good and perfect thing comes from, we're pointing to God and God alone, not our own efforts, not because of how awesome we are, even the sweat of our brow, right? It's not because of those things. It's because God gave us the ability in the first place to have anything good in our lives. What do you need, or who do you need to share your story with this week? We are storytellers here at Village Church. We say that we exist to share our story with Christ so that others can have their own story with him. And so what part of your story do you need to share with somebody else this week so they can hear about the transformative power of Jesus Christ in your life? Mm-hmm. Who do you need to share that with? Who do you need to share your story with this week? In what way do you need to give God credit? Maybe for a while you've been coasting on your own abilities and you've been telling people how great you are. You're right? You've been talking about like how you've accomplished so much in your life. Maybe this week you need to take time and give God credit for those things. Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to make those your Facebook posts and say, hey, look at what happened in my life, and immediately give glory to God instead of just show people how cool stuff is that's going on in your life, right? Always, always, always have that tagline at the end of every post, every conversation, right? God did this for me. God's so good. Thank you, God, for everything I have, for every good and perfect gift. He's the power. He gets all the glory. Amen?
It's a good challenge for us, a little social media challenge this week. Maybe post something that God did in your life and just maybe hashtag glory to God, something like that. It's kind of cool. You were made to be a light in the dark world. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You were made to be a light in a dark world. I have the worship team come forward. I'll tell you, I remember when I first heard about Jesus. I'll never forget it. I was in a place in my life where I was fairly depressed. I really felt like I was in a place of darkness. And the words I would use to describe that time is I was confused. I was really confused. There was brokenness happening in my life all around me. Some of it caused by myself, a lot of it caused by outside sources. And I was just confused about how the world worked and what it meant to be a person. Why was I here and feeling kind of hopeless about the world? And I'll never forget when someone shared Jesus with me, and it hit me like I knew I was made for it, like I knew I was made to know my Creator, but I was hesitant. I remember feeling that. And I remember shortly after just being in a space where it just kept coming at me. Jesus was after me. He was not gonna let it go. And I just remember that moment of like full surrender. Like, you know what? I don't have the answers. Clearly my life, you look at the fruit of my life, I'm a wreck of a person. I'm gonna give this Jesus a try. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask, if you are living in a dark place and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, because I know what He's done for me, I have to give you the opportunity. Do you want to start a relationship with Him today? You might not know exactly what that means. You might know exactly what that looks like and all the things that carry on with it, but that's okay. He has grace for you. This is just the beginning of a journey of a life. Would you just raise your hand if that's you today? You want to try Him. Always want to just give an opportunity. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. You know, we said today that you were made to shine for everyone to see. You're made to shine through your actions, and you're made to shine so that God gets the credit. These are all places of challenge to us today. Maybe you found yourself in one of these points in this verse where you realize, you know what, I've been taking the pat on the back, at least in my heart. No one would know. But maybe I'm struggling with pride. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, I don't have a bunch of good deeds. I've got a lot of intentions. Or maybe you have a bunch of good deeds, but you realize it's out of your own effort, not out of Jesus empowering you to do it. And maybe you've just been kind of shying away, maybe an insecurity from just the influence, the calling and the purpose that you were made for. You were made to shine. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. You were made to shine for everyone to see. We're going to have some people on the sides to pray for you today. I'm going to ask Ashley. Jessica, can I ask you as well? Jeremy, would you be one of those today to pray with people? That'd be awesome. These people are here if you just need an extra boost. They would love to pray for you. You don't have to share much. You just say, you know what, that really spoke to me, and I just want to pray that I just be empowered in this today. They'd be happy to pray over you. Please take advantage of this time. We build this time into our service because we believe that God has spoken, and this is a chance not just to walk out and forget it, but really see the Holy Spirit kind of plant those seeds deep into your heart, that they would change you today. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for how wonderfully and fearfully you've made us. Father, we admit sometimes we go on our own road and we just find ourselves lost and confused and outside of the parameters that you have made us for. And so, Lord, you're just realigning our hearts today. You're reminding us. Some of us in this room have heard that passage 50 times, that we're the light of the world. But you're reminding us again today of the influence that we carry because of your presence in us. God, would you burden our hearts for this world around us? Would you take off the selfish blinders that we often carry? Would you open our eyes to the brokenness around us, God? Break our hearts for it. Provide opportunity, even this week, God, to follow up for us, that we're just faced with a choice. Are we going to surrender and let people see you in us, or will we just shy away? God, I pray that every one of us will be faced with that this week. We just acknowledge it, right? Oh, this is it. This is where it is, the opportunity to shine. God, we're amazed. We're grateful. Who would we be without you? We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.